Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, as always, Cody Frankel. We got a great episode today with our friend, Chris Jastrzemski, the NHL on TNT researcher, telling some cool stories about being behind the scenes with the guys in the panel over the last year and a half or whatnot. There's not much Ranger talk, obviously, this week with no games being played, just the All-Star weekend down in Florida. We actually are recording this before the All-Star game and before the skills, but we've seen a lot of good content. But Cody, anything that sticks out to you, or you know, what's going on with you?
It's cold as shit outside.
Miserable. It's like, actually miserable.
I read an article. Did I send you the article today about the frostbite?
No, I definitely did.
Oh, I didn't.
No, you didn't. No.
Okay. So
just don't do it anyway because I'm not going to read it.
Yeah, I know you don't read. You're illiterate. But New York Times like posted an article being like, it's going to be the coldest weekend in New York in like 15 years. And you can like get frostbite in as quick as 3 minutes. Something crazy.
I'm not setting foot outside.
I mean, tomorrow it's going to feel the low is -2 and it's going to feel like -10. And I have to go to a Broadway show. So I'm going to be outside and I'm
going to wear my mittens. What show are you going to?
Harry Potter.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a question. I was just talking about it with my roommates. Is it fucked up to order DoorDash when it's this cold outside or no?
Oh, for the other people?
Like, do you feel bad for like the people that are riding the bikes, delivering the food or?
Fuck no, dude. I'm ordering Uber Eats tonight.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was going to order in food tonight and like my roommate.
It's either we suffer or they suffer. At least they're getting paid to suffer.
I guess. My roommate was just like, I have a rule where if it's a 10 minute walk, you just go do it.
I mean, tell your roommate to just suck it up and tip them more. Like, I don't know what else to say, but I don't think that is it, dude. I would not step outside tonight if I didn't have to walk my dog, put it that way. So I had dinner plans and we canceled.
Oh really?
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
It's freezing. But anyways, back to some hockey talk. Love to see Fox get in there, love to see Igor get in there. As you said, Igor's stealing the show, it seems like, which is great.
I'm not a per source guy, but per source, I did hear that Mika was originally picked as an all-star or Breadman.
Yes,
was,
this is true, dude. This is true.
Everybody was that announced?
Yes, everybody knows this.
And they backed out.
Yeah, he backed out. Well, Mika backed out because he had a reason. I forgot what it was.
Oh, I didn't know if that was public knowledge or not.
Yeah. It's public knowledge. It's public knowledge. We don't have too much to get into today, but there is a couple things I wanted to touch on. First and foremost, I don't know if you read that Larry Brooks article about, you know,
Tanner Janot
and Patrick Kane and all those guys. Like, all right, I said this thing about Kane to you like 3 weeks ago now that he's with that injury, he's probably not going to be a Ranger, even if we want him to be. I think it's very valid. I think like this is a serious injury concern. And the doc, he got two opinions supposedly. And my good buddy's a Hawks fan. I talked to him about it. He got two opinions and they both said he needs surgery. So he either gets surgery now and he'll be ready for next year as a free agent and he's not going to get traded, or the Blackhawks trade him. Every other team knows, maybe they hope they can get him for a little less because of this news, but he's not going to be playing at 100%. And like, from our standpoint, are you giving up a premium for a guy who's not playing 100% when you're like kind of mortgaging some of your future if you're going to have to trade a young player for him? Because I'm not.
No, definitely not. I mean, I've said publicly, like, sure, it'd be fun to have Patrick Kane just because of him and Panarin. Like, it'd be fun to watch. Like, I think everyone that likes hockey would want to watch those two play together. But, like, it's not the move that gets the Rangers over the hump.
Yeah, no. I think it's so funny because then he was like, but Tarasenko's an option. Yeah, no shit, Larry. But anyways, I did actually like a guy he brought up in that article, Tanner Janot, because – I think Tanner Janot would be an unbelievable fit for this team. I think he's essentially Barclay Goodrow, except better by a good margin. He had a little bit of a breakout year last year where he had 41 points. He's a bottom six guy, but he's an absolute grinder. He shoots. He can score.
Oh, he shoots?
And he shoots, man. He shoots. He can score. And on top of that, he's physical. And I think he would be great. And he only has an $800,000 cap hit, which is insane. So, like, they could lock him up long-term if they wanted to and don't have to mortgage shit. And they could make another rental move, right? They can get this guy for 800K, whatever it is, and go after Tarasenko or go after, you know, Brock Besser or somebody, who cares? But I think that was a really, really, good idea there. And I'm curious if he's available and if the Rangers would look at a guy like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw my tweet on Wednesday. You don't check Twitter a lot, right?
I only see what you text me and say, bro, please check this out.
So Wednesday, I made a fake blog account.
No, I saw it. Yeah, because you posted it in the group chat.
Oh, well, yeah, for the people that are listening, like, I got so much, 50-50, just like, you're a fucking idiot.
I have something
idiot,
funny
or, like,
to tell you.
What?
So Max
yeah,
texted me and goes, dude, I love Johnny, bro, but I think it's about time you move on from him. And I'm
he sent me the link.
I'm like, dude, did you click it? He's like, no, I'm at work. Like, I didn't have time, whatever. I'm like, just click it. It's a fucking meme. He's an idiot.
Like, oh, okay. Well, I'm so tired of the thought process behind it was how so many people just see all these trade articles and they jump to conclusions without even reading them. And people just form their opinion on it. So I was like, I bet I can just fucking post something ridiculous tweet and people won't even click the link to the article. And they'll just quote tweet me saying I'm a fucking clown or loser or idiot, which they did. A lot of them did. But the people that there was one interaction I had, I actually want to read it. Let me find it. I tweeted it was a beautiful short story. This guy, Josh, Killa Josh, quote tweeted it and goes, get fucked. And I commented, read it. And then he tweeted back, well, now I got fucked. And I thought that was really funny. Just people just, anyone in their right mind would not trade Mika Zibanejad and Cabo Kako for Patrick Kane. So to think that I would want that, I think is just a little moronic.
I don't know how somebody could think you were serious there. Yeah.
There were a couple of people though that were like, I was actually ready to hear you out.
Dude, Mika, and this isn't even a take, Mika at this point in his career is better than Patrick Kane is at his point in his career right now. Like, I would take me, if it was a one, if you're stacking
That's
them up against
argument.
Each other right now, I'm taking Mika over Patrick Kane 10 out of 10 times. I think he's the better player at this point. I mean, if it's Patrick Kane 5 years ago, sure, give me Kaner, but it's not. But yeah, that's all good banter, all good banter. Other than that, man, I don't really have that much more to talk about. The Ranger, the only other thing I want to ask you is, what are you looking to see out of the Rangers in this second half of the season to convince you that they are truly now a cup contender? Because you've been a little harder on them than I have this year. So I'm curious, trade deadline's coming up, sure. But, remove that from the equation. What do you, Johnny Lazarus, need to see for the Rangers to show you that they're truly a cup contender and, can compete with the best?
So I think the difference between the team right now versus the team post-deadline last year is just a factor. And I'll talk about this, too, with the deadline, but just being hard to play against. I think losing a guy like Ryan Reeves takes a little bit of toughness and grit out of the lineup. Losing a guy like Tyler Mott, Andrew Kopp, same kind of thing, right? Those guys play really hard. Those guys are foot on the gas, no breaks. And I think the team is lacking that a little bit this year. They're not necessarily a scary team to play against. I think Trouba and Lindgren, are probably the two guys that most people do fear. But, on the offensive side, I don't think they play an in-your-face kind of game. So I think that's what they're missing. And that brings me to what I would want. We talk about the deadline and my mind changes a lot, but I was actually talking to Arthur Staple on Thursday, just texting back and forth. And he was talking about his article coming out soon about the guys that he's targeting and guys that I think this team could use too, that are, going to be free agents at the end of the year, and I don't know if it's possible with the cap. You can tell me that if you want to look it up. I don't know while I'm talking, but a JVR or Alex Killorn.
You have $7 million.
Yeah, if we could, what I want is to get 2 to 3 guys that make this team deeper, not the one superstar goal scorer, because I really don't think that's what puts this team over the edge. This team does have the ability to score goals. I know they haven't really done it that consistently throughout the season, but come playoff time, I think it's all about depth and that secondary scoring. So if you can get a guy like Alex Killorn or James Van Riemsdyk, who can be a second.
If they can get Killorn, that would be fucking lovely.
Well, I'm just saying the type of player, I don't know. Okay.
Tanner Janot is he qualifies in that he would slide right into that third line and play alongside Trocheck, and I think he'd be perfect in that. And then
but I just look at the other teams in the league that the Rangers are competing against right now, and you know, I don't think the Devils are scary as far as like in your face kind of style, but you know, the Devils can easily outskill the Rangers or just play to that, you know, level of skill that the Rangers have. But the teams that I think really just would outwork and outcompete the Rangers are, you know, Boston and Carolina and Tampa Bay. Those are the three teams I've said that, you know, I don't like the Rangers' chances going into a 7-game series against them. So like, that's what I think the Rangers need to build toward is being able to outskate those teams because they can keep up with anyone skill-wise. I mean, you know, with Artemi Panarin, Zibanejad, Foxy in the back end, Igor in goal, the Rangers can outskill almost every team in the NHL, or at least for the most part, compete with them. But it's that work ethic and the compete level that I don't know that they have right now.
It's interesting what you said about the about two or three players, because I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think you are right. You know, Tanner Janot would be great. Another guy who comes to mind, but I don't know how it would work because you're going to need St. Louis to eat a shit ton of this money is Ryan O'Reilly. I think mm-hmm. he's a guy who can slide in there. And, you know, I know he's a center, but who cares? Like you, I'm at the point, and I've said that I've been pretty consistent in telling you this for weeks now. Like I don't care. We could trade for three centers. I don't care. Put them on the wing. Any center can play wing too. I'm mm-hmm. convinced of that. And
no, that's true.
I, you know, like we saw with Copper, and like, I think it's really important just to get guys who will fit in this team right now and don't worry about the position as long as, like, you know, they could play the position to an extent. I think
Trouk's an easy play wing.
Yeah. He's another guy who's been talked about for years now, and I feel like he's been in the league for 30 years, but he's like 27. Max Domi. I think he would be another guy yeah. who's, you know, he's having a breakout year this year. Like, he's having a pretty good season right now. I think he's got something like, I'm 15 goals, 14 goals. He's got 14 goals and 35 points right now in 48 games. Like
on a dog shit Chicago team.
On a dog shit Chicago team. Like he's having a nice season. He doesn't cost much. I think he signed like I don't remember, but maybe like a 1 year, $3 million contract or something like that. Like you get him, you get Tanner Janot in there, and you get a defenseman, like a, you know, third lefty vet, like. You know my guy who I've been talking about from Columbus, but dude, that would be a squad. Like that would be a squad I could go to battle with, and like, you know, I would probably rather have those three guys than just trading for Tarasenko. Sure,
yeah.
I agree with that, but I think, you know, how much pressure do you think our management is getting from Dolan, and you know, from up top saying like, yo, we need to wrap this shit up and win it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think it's just clear, like, to come out of the Eastern Conference, you're going to have to beat Carolina or Boston.
Like, oh, totally. Maybe both. And if not both, then you're also going to have to beat one of Tampa or Toronto. So, like, you know, and nobody's doubting the East isn't a bloodbath, and it's going to be. So, like, we just need to kind of, like, figure that out. But yeah, that's really all I have. I mean, do you want to send it to our guest?
Yeah, let's send it over to Jazz. Great guy, and, you know, I hope you guys enjoy it. This week on the Blue Crew, we're very happy to welcome on a good friend of mine and someone you guys are all going to love, the researcher for NHL on TNT, Chris Jastrzemski. What's going on, Jazz? We call him Jazz, so I'm not going to say Jastrzemski. That's a fucking mouthful. So
it is a mouthful.
Jazz, what's going on, bro?
How are you, everybody? Great to be on with Cody.
pleasure. I'm gonna jump in here immediately because I need to know, like, what do you research? Like, do you research like getting biz lunch? You know, like what do you research there?
I make biz look smart. I'm pretty much the guy that makes biz look smart and
professional. Not an easy thing to do.
It's very hard to do. But also,
what do they call you again? What's the nickname?
Jazz?
No, the biz one.
Discount biz?
Discount biz. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, you guys do look a little similar.
I've gotten that a lot. And one of my friends likes biz, so I'm hoping that, you know, she digs me, but we'll see. Anyway, I kind of make the talent look smart. I develop stats and storylines for them, the producers, and I even help out with the game crews as well. And I help out with, you know, we have some gambling odds and DraftKings segments, and so I'll develop those, the same game parlays you'll see on pregame, and some other in-game options as well. So I do a lot of that, and also communicate video needs from downstairs where the talent are. They're watching the games, I'm with them, to upstairs where tape guys are, who are great. And I'm kind of like a do-it-all kind of guy.
Almost army knife.
Yeah.
It actually is crazy. Like when we were at the Winter Classic, Jazz like took me to all the production trucks, and there's so much that goes into it that, like, you know, I wish almost everyone could see, because, you know, obviously you watch NHL on TNT and a lot of people probably think the job is, you know, somewhat easy, but the, like, everything that goes into making that happen is pretty crazy. And I don't want to touch on that too much right off the bat. I kind of want to get like your backstory for people that, you know, don't know you. You were at ESPN for a while. You made that jump to NHL on TNT a little like over a year and a half ago, probably, right?
Yeah.
Can you just talk about that process and how you were selected for being the researcher for NHL on TNT?
Yeah, so I was at ESPN for roughly 3 years. The last half of it, I was working on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And mainly there, I was doing video content. So creating highlights, creating montages or vignettes, or helping with the interview. So if Scott had, you know, Gary Bettman on or Emery Kaplan on, I would be pretty much producing that, cutting it down, adding B-roll to that and all that. And I just, at the time, you know, I wasn't really happy with, you know, the direction the company was going. I wanted to do hockey. You know, they weren't going to let me do hockey. They wanted me to stay on Van Pelt. I wanted to be an AP. They didn't want me to do that. So I went over, wanted to do hockey at TNT, did that. The job process was surprising. I actually applied for one job. And then after the final interview for that job, I got a email from a recruiter saying that, hey, we got your resume for this researcher job at TNT. I'm like, ah, I never applied to that. But all right, I'll take the interview. Yeah. Did the interview, I think, the next day or two. And then the day after, I got an offer. And, you know, I was excited to be part of that group. And for me, and I've done this a few times, you know, worked on – I was a PA for a boxing show at ESPN called Maxim Boxing with Max Kellerman.
Mm-hmm.
It feels more gratifying to be the first to do something, like mm-hmm. the first researcher at the NHL and TNT, the first PA on that Maxim Boxing show.
Yeah.
I find it more like gratifying for me rather than, you know, being part of the SVP is a very special and a big honor, but it's different with the NHL stuff, being the first to be part of that special group. You're kind of laying the foundation and the groundwork for the future TNT employees.
Well, that's something I wanted to follow up with too. Like, can you talk about the first show and just how far you guys have come just in that year and a half that it's been?
Yeah, so that was actually my second day in the office, fun fact. Yeah. I landed the day before. I took a flight from Connecticut, got in the studio. I think baseball playoffs was going on. Our main researcher for basketball and sometimes baseball, Joe Underhill, we call him Underdog, gave me my laptop. He showed me it around. He was like, hey, if you need me, let me know. I'm like, how do I get my email? So I'm like, and I got to work tomorrow for hockey. I'm like, uh-oh, shit. But got in the hotel room that night, did notes. First time I met our producer, Gibby, we call him. First time I met Liam in person, we emailed, I think, the morning of, if he had any if I had notes or whatever, just to look up stuff. And then ever since then, you know, slowly but surely, I get to know the talent. I get to know the producers, everyone behind the scenes, graphics PA, Sean, or tape people, Caden, and that crew. And it's become a nice family, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that environment at TNT, you know, it's a much different environment than what I was at previously with a few other jobs I was at too. But
yeah,
the family aspect of, you know, us working together, we know who we are, we know what we like to do, and we also like to have fun. I mean, I've never been to a company where they brought in a live goat for his birthday. Also have it driven a golf cart in a studio once, Keith Yandel. So
that's so funny you say that, and I want to jump in there because I was just about to ask you, like, I'm sure since being there you've had some pretty unique and funny stories you know, throughout your time there. Like, what's maybe like one funny story or great story that obviously, you know, no one other than who was there would know about?
Oof. I have to pick one.
I mean, you can pick a couple. Go for
There's
it.
There's a lot. There's a lot. I definitely felt I might have missed some last year. I mean, birthdays, we were surprising everybody. We surprised, I think, Tok with Biz coming out of like a wooden cake. And I think it was he came out of a wooden cake, you know, like one of those, like, you know, performers coming out of the cake, mm-hmm. and a little like confetti gun, and the confetti gun never really fired off properly. It was kind of a little. And Todd made fun of Biz for that. Nice little innuendo on that end. But playoffs, the story I can take away from playoffs. Yeah, like
Edmonton-Calgary, that must have been pretty crazy. Yeah.
We were game three when we were going from the post game outside. It was just hectic just to get through all these people. But the day after, it was actually my birthday, fun fact. But me, Gretzky, Tak, Jonesy, RA, Biz, the Oilers owner's son, Harrison Katz, we all went to the Oil Kings game that day. And we got a tour of the locker rooms for the Oilers. We actually saw Edmonton's little Hall of Fame where they do their press conferences. And Gretzky was talking to us about his first stick that was in that exhibit, and they only had one piece of tape. And he mentioned, like, oh, like, I always loved Bobby Hall, Bobby Orr, who had one piece of tape on his stick. And then his father came in one day and said, son, you're no Bobby Orr. And just looking at having Wayne tell all those stories, and he's an encyclopedia himself, and he can talk. And then we watched hockey, and that was probably like the best moment I've had with that crew, along with the shenanigans in studio, whether it's, having a golf cart in when the Maple Leafs lost in seven games, or goat, or Biz saying that no morals, which is 100% false. But it's a fun crew.
I want to do a little bit of bragging for you, because when we were together in the lobby of the hotel, Gretzky walked up to you and said, "What up?" That's pretty big time.
That's an alpha move right there.
Yeah, that was an alpha move. Jazz was like, Gretzky's in the lobby, like, come down and play it cool. And then we get to, like, me and my friend Steve get down there. Steve from UMass Hockey.
There you go.
I knew you'd say that. And sure as shit, Gretzky just like walks right over to Jazz, like says, "What's up?" And then we met him. But I want to ask you about like the first time meeting him, because like now he's a colleague. So what's it like, working with Wayne Gretzky?
Seeing Wayne Gretzky, was like, shit, it's Wayne fucking Gretzky. I mean, how was your reaction when you saw him for the first time?
I was like, I couldn't stop laughing at Steve. Like,
Johnny probably wanted a picture so bad.
No, you can't do that.
The B-reel would go off with Wayne.
Oh, totally.
That'd be sick if B-Real went off. But I just want to tell a quick story. My friend Steve that I was with, he's the director of hockey ops at UMass. And, I just shake Wayne's hand, go, "Hey, I'm Johnny." He goes, like, "Nice to meet you, Johnny." And then my friend Steve goes, "Hey, I'm Steve. I work with UMass hockey." And, like, Wayne goes, "Oh, cool." And we were just like, dude, like, he doesn't give a fuck.
that's unreal. Like, but, UMass, sick.
Yeah. But the first time I met Wayne, it was like, holy shit, this is Wayne fucking Gretzky.
Yeah.
I try to play it cool because I knew, like, I'm going to be working with him. His son Ty was there, so I buddy with Ty a lot. And I think that's how Wayne was able to come up to us, because he saw Ty was talking to me. He saw me, and then he came up and said hi to me and his son. But Ty's pretty much like kind of like the bridge. Ty's a great guy. I've met Trevor, I think, virtually or something like that. I met Tristan was also at the hotel that night. He was with us for the Winter Classic as well. And then Janet, Wayne's wife, was also there. So I feel like I'm an honorary part of the Gretzky's. Kind of, sort of. But no, Wayne's a great guy. And he's very – when he's with us during shows, he's very involved too. Like, it's – like, we were kind of – especially mine, I was surprised to see, like, how involved would he be? Would he just be there to just give his insights, give his thoughts, just come in, come out? But he was very, very involved. And – having talk there, and then him becoming buds with Biz, I think he really, really enjoyed doing it.
Yeah. During your time, since you've been, with these guys, like, has there been anyone other than Gretzky where you've kind of been just absolutely shell-shocked?
I mean, you can't beat Wayne Gretzky.
I
guess maybe Will Arnett.
Oh, that's a great one. I love Will Arnett.
Yeah, he's a big hockey fan. I mean, and I
Go Bluth and Lego Batman. I mean, how can't you top Lego Batman?
Yeah.
What do you mean? He's Strauss and Fairchild.
I guess that too.
Yeah.
But Joe Bluth.
He's in everything. I fucking love Will Arnett. He's the man.
Yeah, he's great. What are you guys doing his podcast?
Yeah, The Smartless.
Really good. Really good. Yeah, they're a good crew. I guess I wanted to follow up with this on, where did your love for hockey come from? Like, have you always been super ingrained in like wanting to work in hockey, revolving around hockey, and like, where do your hockey loyalties lie?
You're wearing a fucking jersey, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, I'm a Flyers fan, first of all.
Condolences.
Yeah, they suck. Flyers is a disgrace, as I say on Twitter a lot when they lose. I love the sport of hockey. It started before the lockout. I think my parents just turned a game on, or my dad did, and I kind of bought and I loved it. I think it was one of my first memories is watching Donald Brashear fight a guy, and I loved it. And then the lockout happened. I was still young, but then the year after, my mom's company got season tickets to the Flyers. So the whole plan was we were going to have like a game a month or two games a month, and then she was going to sell them to her work colleagues. So slowly but surely, I ended up going to Flyers games once a month. Got myself on a ticket 1 year. I 19,000 people seeing your face on a ticket. That has to be very, very disappointing when they see a young.
Wait, what do you mean? I'm confused.
So they did a fan contest 1 year where and like a photo of like you being like the biggest Flyers fan, you were going to be on like a ticket.
Like a physical, okay. I guess it's before like the mobile tickets came out.
Early. Exactly. Yeah. So we have like a photo, like we have a large copy of like myself with like bobbleheads and me in a jersey and a hat.
That's great.
On my home stairs. I should probably get a pic if that helps too for B-roll purposes. But
yeah, if you can, that'd be great.
Yeah. So, and then I think the same year, my fifth grade, we had to do a mastery project. So you'd be like a master at something. So I picked the Flyers. So I developed this whole PowerPoint on the history of the Flyers. And it culminated with like bringing Bob the Hell Kelly, former Flyer legend in. Mm-hmm. And we had a whole school assembly for my grade on hockey and putting on hockey equipment. And it went above and beyond. And like, that's where the sport kind of like, I fell in love with the sport. I still do today. And it's, I don't know what I would be doing without hockey, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I, that actually brings me to this. Like, can you talk about a game day, doubleheader, NHL on TNT? Like, what time you get into the studio? What's your day-to-day as far as that routine goes, getting ready for game day?
Yeah, so I work on my game notes that I know, Corey, we talked about at the start, but I usually try to update those game notes.
You say Corey?
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Put some respect on the name.
Disrespect, bro. Cody, scumbag. Cody.
Fuck, edit that shit out, Cody.
Nope, that's staying in.
Bro, you're on my shit. You're below Johnny on my shit list now. And that's low. That's low.
We have that forever now. That's great.
You know?
Motherfucker. Pride myself and thinking myself as a man of faith.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
Talking to deep left people.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. That's going to be a 4-0 ball game.
Yeah, but anyways, back to the matter at hand, Cody. So I wake up, do my wrap up my game notes that I would prep on Sunday, just tweak anything, add any updates from the games that happened Monday, Tuesday, get on a meeting with our producer and Liam, work on our DraftKings same game parlay, going around doubleheader, normal doubleheader, like a 7 or 7:30 start time for the first game, getting around 1:30 or 2, print out a lot of stuff like the game notes packet. Another packet which has starting lineups and stats for both for all the teams involved, standings, and then there's these big ass stat packets at Ace and the analyst. Mm-hmm. It's like 100 pages deep, and it's just stats for every team and streaks and all that. Put them on their desks. We have a production meeting around 3:30 that day. Then we get dinner catered, and then just talk with the guys, talk with the boys, snap it around a little bit. And then we have a pregame. We watch the games in our green room, come back, intermission, do that, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, post-game, and then we leave. It's a fun night. It's a busy night. It can go quickly. And there's other things I'm doing as well, you know, like checking graphics, making sure they're good, making sure everyone else has their heads screwed up. But it's a fun job.
And then obviously playoffs, it gets a little more hectic, right? Oh, like yeah. This year too, especially the Stanley Cup final, you know.
Last year was hectic. We had – I think
you guys did game 7 Rangers Penguins, right?
We did.
Yeah. I want to ask you about that game specifically because that game was crazy.
That was wild. That was actually the only game we had that night. Mm-hmm. It was like the first week we were on five nights straight. Thursday and Friday we had doubleheaders on TNT and TBS. Saturday was a tripleheader on TNT that started like in the afternoon and ended up in the night. Sunday tripleheader on TBS. And then I think we had a doubleheader on Monday on TNT or TBS, whatever. But either way, like those doubleheaders,
mm-hmm.
first two nights we had it, and I think we had one as well on Thursday or Friday or both.
Okay.
Next week, it was brutal. Like you're just sitting there, it's like I haven't moved from my seat in 5 hours.
Like, no bathroom break or nothing.
You're still watching postseason hockey, so I mean you can't complain again for that. But the Rangers game, I guess, if we want to go to game seven, that was fun. That was our only game of the night. And overtime, usually we're just still in our – we don't really go to the green room where we watch. We're just in the studio in case, you know, hey, if something happens, we're going to have to be back on the set. We were surprised. It was a fun game. Probably might be the best playoff game of the entire 2022 year, I would say.
Yeah, it was top-notch. It was up there. I was going to ask, do you have any type of – I know you obviously have a relationship with, you know, the guys on the panel, but do you have a relationship with any of the in-game analysts, like, you know, Kenny Albert, any of the broadcasters, anything like that?
Not as much as I do with studio guys. Edzo might send me an email here or there. I'd be like, hey, Chris, Edzo here. It's like, yeah, I know.
Get me a coffee.
Yeah, I know, Edzo. It's your name pops up on your email. There will be some guys like Panger as well, Jordan Burke. They'll email me once in a while. They need stuff or they have questions or whatever. And, you know, I'm there for them if they need me. Seems like they don't. You know, they're there. And you know, I've been with Kenny a little bit. Jonesy's come in the studio once a few times. But they're good guys overall.
I have a tough one for you. What's the most uncomfortable you've been in the job?
Oh. The most uncomfortable.
Like, I don't know if you've had like a fuck up or like, you know, something where you're like, oh God, like get me out of the situation.
I hate, you know, I do hate to be like the person, because it kind of happened last week. Like we had one of our logos that wasn't really correct. And like, hey, Director Morgan, like, hey, like, the logo isn't right. Like the Hurricanes logo, I think that the circle, the middle of the circle of the Hurricanes logo, instead of black, it was white. I'm like, hey,
well, it's okay because the Hurricanes had a player this year wear a jersey that was wrong.
That too. Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. It's tough to see, I guess, sometimes. But yeah, it's tough for me to be like the bearer of bad news, but at least I caught it before pregame aired and it was corrected. First night, actually, I'll tell you this. First night, we had the graphic on the goals scoring, all time goals leaders, and it missed Brett Hull. And I'm like,
oh, I remember that. I remember you talking about that.
We can't run Brett. We can't run this. There's no Brett Hull. There's no Brett Hull. Like the first freaking 5 minutes, I'm like, we can't run this yet. There's no Brett Hull. And we didn't run it. I think the game guys did a segment on their own. They had the same graphic, but they had Brett Hull. So I'm like, oh, thank God. And our producer, my producer Gibby, was telling me like, hey, like you saved our ass our first night. Mm-hmm. You did your integrity a lot. Of shit. Like, it's just a name, but there is something there.
Oh, yeah.
Like people never seen hockey on TNT before, so they're very skeptical to start. So,
oh yeah,
I wouldn't say like outside of those two, like situations where like I've kind of been like an uncomfortable spot. There have been uncomfortable spots at ESPN where I've been at, and I remember there was one where I was in. We call it the one play room, the media room.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's like games going on. Like say it's a. For example, it's like a late night college basketball game and it goes wild, double overtimes, and you're just adding on plays and you're updating shot sheets. And I might have updated a few too many times with too many what we call cross rolls or updates. And, you know, I sent like maybe four because I was thinking, all right, you know, here's this update. He has this and then I'll send another one. But Scott just completely botched that highlight because of a mistake that I made and it was incredible.
That sucks.
So I learned from that day, and it's like you just got to swallow it and just face the wrath of our producers and Scott and our EP that night. And yeah, it was
bad. Yeah. So, all right, let me ask you a fun question here. If you could go back to any moment in NHL history and relive it, front row seats, what is it?
I would say to just rub it in Johnny's face because I was – you know, 12 rows away from it when the Flyers beat the Rangers in 2010 to get the playoffs.
Robin and Johnny's face. I'm a bigger fan than he is.
Yeah, that sucks for you, Cody. Sorry. Got your name.
Corey. That was the shootout game, the Olli Jokinen fucking full-length breakout, full-length shootout.
Yeah, that's my favorite game I've been to as a Flyers fan, and I'm sure it's been a lot because
it's the only big game the Flyers have ever beat the Rangers. So in the last 15 years, you know what I mean?
There you go.
Well, the Rangers beat the Flyers in those, like, what was it, two playoff series or just one?
During college for me, it was great, and my roommate was a huge Flyers fan, so it was just like awesome because we'd all get together, just, you know, good time watching him suffer. So. And hopefully you were suffering too.
Yeah. Sucked. But I would say overall, like outside of rubbing in your guys' faces, like overall the biggest hockey moment I'd like to just relive live. Probably Bobby Orr's goal.
That's a good one.
You weren't alive.
Bro, Johnny doesn't listen to questions.
You said relive.
I said if you could go to any moment in NHL history, and sit front row, what would it be? To relive it.
Which means you were already living.
No, to relive it, as in like you could be there for a moment.
All right, we're gonna, take a short break because
am I dumb here?
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
dumb.
You are.
You are dumb, okay.
Buddy. Have you been drinking on the job?
Huh?
Have you been drinking on the job?
No, but I took two happy CBD gummies. If that counts.
It doesn't seem like you're happy or having fun.
I've been smiling this whole time.
I know you have.
You're supposed to have.
Did I just ruin that whole question?
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, we won't harp on it too much, but, you know, John, how many more do you got? I got one more. So
I have probably two or three more, but I'll build off what you got too, I imagine, but I don't want to get too serious, but I also feel like, you know,
serious.
What?
Why so serious?
No, but I think you're in a very cool position and you know, you're, like you said, you're doing something for the first time, never been done before on TNT. You know, how often, I don't even remember like how originally you and I connected, but I know we've been like friends LinkedIn. Now for like, what's up?
LinkedIn. You shot your shot.
I shot my shot. What did I say? I gotta find that. Did I?
Yeah, you did. Well, I think we do. We had a mutual friend in Carly Fleischer. And I think that's kind of how we met originally.
I messaged you.
And I think you also messaged me on LinkedIn one time.
Oh, I did. I did message you.
Yeah.
Hey, man, seems like we have very similar backgrounds and interests. Just wanted to reach out and introduce myself. Would love to connect with you. Happy holidays.
December 26th of 2021.
Yeah. Damn. Good flirting
move. Good for you, Jonathan.
Good flirting move by me. But, I guess how many people like that, though? Like younger kids. You know, you're a Syracuse grad. So many kids now want to get in sports. Like, I guess not necessarily advice, but, you know, more so your path. Like, you know, people ask me sometimes and I don't even like really know what to tell them. Like I just started like by doing my own thing and, you know, I don't know how you would give advice to younger people looking to get into sports.
Yeah. I mean, just get your name out there, right? Like even when I was in college, like, again, like one of my other passions is lacrosse and, you know, working at Syracuse University for the men's team, for the lacrosse team there as a video guy. And then all of a sudden some random person asked me if I wanted to actually, I should call her random because she's now Sanford Chronicle writing, but she reached out and asked if I want to write about college lacrosse, and this is me with no background in lacrosse, and slowly but surely I started to write lacrosse and then got to another site and just made myself, you know, a personality and a name, and you know, not being like cookie cutter. Like what I hate about Newhouse a little bit, and some people that are like hardo news people, is like they are hardo news people. Like,
yeah.
They don't really.
You're definitely not a hardo.
Exactly. Like I want to be like my own self. Like I'll be throwing dad jokes or just being an idiot at times. And you know, my big thing is to make people smile and make people happy. But
my favorite jazz thing on Twitter, like anytime like a big time or not a big time, but I guess anytime like a college like basketball team or football team loses, he'll just like reply to the team Twitter account like, consider adding lacrosse.
They should. I mean, yeah, it's so funny. But no, it's, I would say just be yourself, right? Like have a personality, be yourself. Don't be always like, I mean, a lot of us are still young, right?
Yeah.
We're not anywhere near 30 yet. Thank God.
Cody's 30.
I'm 30.
Oh, that sucks for you, buddy. You're dealing. But
yeah, you guys are beefing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same if it makes you feel better. And you know what? I still look younger than both of you. So suck it.
Yeah, you know, he's right. Handsomer too.
thank you.
But I'll say this, like, you know, just be yourself, be your own personality, and don't be afraid to reach out to people that like you look up to. And like, you know, who knows, like the least they could do is not reply or say no. Right.
Right.
You're not going to be like, don't contact me again or I will find you.
First and foremost, do you actively watch? I know obviously you're researching a lot of things for TNT, but do you actively watch a lot? Like, is that part of your job? Do you actively have to watch a lot of games?
Oh, hell yeah. Job. I get the ESPN Plus Apple TV app, 4 games at once, and there's another game. I have another game on the my laptop. I'm just watching games.
Okay. All right. So if you right now can build out a top line, a top pair, and a goalie, so you get 6 players, who are you going with for each slot?
So it's like my all NHL team pretty much.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
First of all, what are we considering Leon Draisaitl?
He's a center. He's a center.
So he's out of it. Connor McDusty is my center.
Mm-hmm.
I would put Mitchie Marner.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, on the wings. He's a right winger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's my right winger.
Mitch Marner.
Yeah. What do you have with Mitch Marner?
Well, no, he's not
clutch come playoffs.
I love Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
This would be my first choice.
Well, he's mine. So
you're second. Fucking deal. No, I'm kidding. All right, keep going.
Left wing, I do Matty Tkachuk.
Okay. I love me some Tkachuk.
The D, I would go with Adam Fox.
Kiss ass.
Shut up, Johnny. you know what? I'll fucking stick with the kiss ass. Cale Makar, how's that, buddy?
Yeah, that's pretty kiss ass right there.
Yeah, very kiss ass. Yeah.
I think Cody has to take care of his dog right now.
How about the goal?
Who's goal?
It's not Igor. It's I would do Ilya Sorokin.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Dude.
You being serious?
I am being.
Oh, you're not trolling?
I'm not being serious. If I wasn't serious, I'd say fucking Yaroslav Halak.
No, and like that's not a troll. Like, come on.
I would do Sorokin.
You're out of your mind.
Why?
Okay, he's a stellar goalie. He just doesn't have. He's like. I saw this on Twitter a few weeks ago. He's like Jacob DeGrom without any run support from the Mets.
I don't know. I mean, I see that.
The Islanders can't score players, for shit.
They just don't produce.
Yeah, maybe they should produce then. Maybe if Bo Horvat maybe defense for the Islanders, maybe he'll be.
You gotta tell him to shut up, Cody. Not you, Jazz.
He's probably I said
the dog.
Sorokin.
He doesn't like that you said Ilya.
Yeah. He probably isn't happy I picked Sorokin, so I don't blame the dog.
But I guess I'll wrap up with my final question.
I have to because Cody's not at the mic, so
yeah. I don't have a choice. But you know, this is the first year where NHL on TNT has the Stanley Cup final. Your food's there. Ooh. Obviously, you don't know where it's going to be yet. Do you have a specific city? You're not going. You're in Atlanta anyway, but like I guess no. Are you live at the final?
I'm going.
Yeah, you're going.
What do you mean I'm not going?
You're going. Yeah. I forgot that you guys were in person in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I saw your pick with the cup.
Yeah.
But that was in studio in Atlanta.
Yes. And in
okay, so back to the question.
Yeah, go.
Is there a specific city you'd like to see the Stanley Cup final be in between the West and the Eastern Conference?
Personally, me, Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah, that makes sense.
It's Vegas. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, watch hockey, then gamble responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, circus.
Can you bet on hockey or are you not allowed?
I don't know.
How do you feel about New York?
I mean, Georgia, it's illegal. So,
yeah,
I do it responsibly if I do. New York. Well, sorry to say this. I'm not a big fan of New York. I think it smells and it sucks and it's too big. If there's an Eastern city, I love Boston. Mainly because of the big food and the Yankee there and
big food. If you want to talk about food,
big Italian
New York.
Yeah, I mean New York time too. It's got some good Italian food, but I mean there's no like great pastry shops like Mike's and Modern. So
pastry shops, New York has tons of good pastry shops.
Oh, all right, maybe you should take me then, Cody.
Johnny,
you're not going.
I don't want to be there.
Johnny, you're not going to stick up for pastries. You literally text me once a week you're eating a muffin and you're not going to stick up for pastries here.
That's from Dunkin' Donuts.
Johnny, we went to Mike's together. Wait, no, I'm sorry. We didn't.
No, I didn't. I wasn't there. Yeah. Shout out Brian Rubin. But yeah, I mean, that's all I really got. Any final thought, Cody or Jazz? Do you want to plug anything? I know.
You have a question for us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cody, why are you friends with Johnny?
Honestly, I ask myself the same question every day. Like we were just recording before and we asked ourselves it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. He's just, you know, he's got chubby cheeks and I love him.
I'm a cute, lovable guy.
He doesn't like chubby cheeks.
Yeah, exactly.
But Jazz, anything you want to plug before we let you go? I know you are doing lacrosse blogging and stuff like that.
So just follow me on Twitter if you want to. Maybe you'll probably mute me in a week at Chris_Jast, JAST. I'll do some lacrosse writing here and there. I'll commentate about the sport as well, along with hockey and just a lot of other stuff. You'll see a lot of Eagle stuff too in the next week.
Yeah.
If the Birds win the Super Bowl over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Are you going?
Ha! My parents are. I got out earlier this week. $12,000. Remember when they are in a nursing home.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm never going to do that. My parents will love you, Denise and John. But no, I mean, follow me there. If you see my face somehow on Hinge or Bumble, swipe.
Dude, speaking of your face, like, you should seriously consider making like a biz troll Twitter account and just like have like funny pictures of you and like just doing funny stuff. Like, I think you could, like, you know, from far away, like, you can. I don't know your height, but.
Well, yeah, you haven't seen him in person. He doesn't look like an ex hockey player.
No, I'm 5'10. I'm 5'10.
How tall is Biz? Like 6'2?
Yeah, let's find
out. He's all tatted up and shit, too, though.
I think.
Nah, but yeah, but.
It wouldn't work.
He's 6'2. He is 6'2.
It was worth a shot. It was worth a shot.
He's 6'2", 16. But, I mean, short kings, man. Who doesn't like a short king?
That's true.
I don't think 5'10 short.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for coming on. We love you. And
thanks, brother.
Yeah. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Love you guys. Thank you.
We want to thank our boy Jazz for coming on once again. Great to hear from him and hear a little bit more of storytelling from the NHL on TNT. And we're very excited for what they have coming in the future. Not much else to say. I know we have the draft segment for this week and the upcoming games for the week. The Rangers have 4 games this week, so it's going to be a jam-packed week post All-Star break. But, Cody, you want to go into the draft segment first?
Yeah. So our draft segment this week is going to be a 3-round draft on favorite movie franchises ever. So not the greatest. So, you know, we're not talking about, like, greatest, like Star Wars, Marvel, whatever. We're talking about our personal favorites. So, Johnny, I'll give you the first pick.
I want to steal yours with my first pick just because it is a good one, and I love it. I grew up on the American Pie movies. That was the example you gave when you texted me.
It was, but that's like
not your horrible. Favorite. Well, no. For me, dude, no. Being a sixth grade kid or sixth grader, middle school kid watching the American Pie movies, like, that's how I learned about sex and everything growing up, like from American Pie. You know, I love those movies, and
I'm glad you're 12 still.
No, I just have an appreciation for it. Yeah.
All right, I think my favorite. Number one, I'm going to go with the Batman trilogy, the Dark Knight trilogy, because I think that the Christopher Nolan movies were just out of this world. So I'm going to go with that. I mean, you're going to go with more funny, where I'm going to go with more like action.
Marvel.
Like, yeah. All right. So first of all, Batman's DC. Get it together, you fucking dweeb. But I'm a nerd. DC. But okay, forget it. Never mind. A conversation for another time, my guy. Okay. But all right. So I'm going Batman Nolan trilogy with first round pick.
I'm going to go... See, like, I can't even think of like a action series that I would really want. Like, for me, the first one that comes to mind is The Hangover. All 3 of those movies. Like, those are I love those movies.
Okay.
I wish they came out with more. They could make a new one. Even if it's the same fucking movie over and over, I could watch it every time.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. Number two, I'm actually gonna go with a newer franchise, which I absolutely love, and they're coming out with a 4th movie next month, and it is honestly awesome. And if you haven't watched it yet, you need to, and that's the John Wick series, because those movies are unreal, and Keanu Reeves is a king.
Yeah, I have nothing to say to that. I've never seen them. I don't know, what are they about?
Dude, he's an ex-hitman, and basically there's like a secret society of hitmen. And it's crazy. You would actually love it. Like, if you want an action movie that's just like fucking awesome, you would love it.
I wonder how many people listen to this and just like wonder how we're friends.
I don't know.
Like, our interests are just so opposite. I feel like it's so funny.
Well, no, I like the Hangover series. I just think you're an idiot. that's
Well, no, I guess while we're
you're saying series of like a 12-year-old, like
that's what I watch
because you're literally 12. Thank you for proving my point. Okay,
so to make it even worse for myself and to dig myself deeper in this hole, I'm gonna go with the Austin Powers movies. Those were
not Harry Potter, bro. I know you've watched all the Harry Potter.
Yeah,
movies,
but I
loved them.
I've only seen so for Harry Potter. I never watched the full thing until like 2 years ago. I watched
and
the
you
first,
loved it. You
I
loved
watched the
it.
First four. It was like, it's not, I'm not one to see Harry Potter on TV and I feel like I have to watch it, you know?
I mean, okay, that's fair.
Like Austin Powers, like, you know, the 10-year-old me, like every hockey trip in the car, it was Austin Powers. You know, that's just.
Okay. I thought the Austin Powers movies were okay.
Well, you can say that now as a 30-year-old yeah. guy.
No.
When you were 10.
Yeah. Okay. I think. My last pick and my favorite would be the final one's coming out and it's sick. Mission Impossible movies with Tom Cruise. Cause those
I've seen one of those.
Those movies rock.
You know what's funny? Oh, I saw what's up.
I said congrats.
I saw one of the Mission Impossibles and I was sitting next to my dad in the theater and like at the end of the movie, my dad was like, "You're telling me Tom Cruise did all this shit and like he didn't limp once."
See,
like he fell from a 10-story building, no limp.
Yeah, dude, Tom Cruise is a psycho, but those movies actually rock. So I guess I went all three action.
Yeah, well, I will give one action though. I did love the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. I loved those.
Oh, those are classics.
Yeah, I was a big fan of those movies. And then when it went to like Andrew Garfield and Tom Holland.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any of those. I haven't seen any of those.
Oh, dude, the Tom Holland ones are so good.
That's something I can maybe do tonight. I can get behind that.
Okay. I'm going to give a bonus pick because I did all action. So I'm going to give a comedy one that just was unreal. And I mean, it was only two, but I wish they made a third one of what? No, not Ted. Ted's great though. Ted is great. 21 Jump Street. Those movies,
I feel like they're going to make more.
No. That's dead. No, it's dead.
Really? That dead. Sucks. Yeah, those were great.
Those movies were unreal. But that's it for our draft this week. And do you want to go into this week's slate?
Yeah. So the first game of the week is Monday night. Yeah. What's up?
I said Flames, right?
Yeah. Flames on Monday night as you're listening. Cause this comes out Monday, Rangers home against Calgary. Everyone has a fresh slate after All-Star break. Don't expect it to be such a good game. Cause everyone's getting drunk for the last week or so, that didn't participate in All-Star weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with a Ranger win though. Calgary for me this year has been very iffy. The goaltending hasn't been as strong as last year. Markstrom hasn't been at his best.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the Rangers come out and win this game like 4-2.
Honestly, that was my score and couldn't agree with you more. So let's move on to the next one with the Canucks. I think if the Rangers don't win this game, they have a lot of problems. You know, I think hangover or not, like you need to find a way to win this game. It's, you know, like we said earlier, it's past that point where they need to be losing to bad teams. They need to start beating bad teams. So I'm going to go with this one as a scoring fiesta, and I'm going to say 6-2 Rangers.
Mm. I was thinking high scoring game as well, but I don't want to steal yours. I feel like this is a Halak game, and I think Halak might play again on I don't know because
playing twice, dude.
No, but it's a back to back against Carolina. The Carolina game is important. These three games are all out of conference leading up to Carolina. So I think Halak might get two.
I could see
Halak maybe starting against the Flames actually, and then Igor gets the game against Vancouver and Carolina.
See, I think it's going to be Igor, Halak, Igor. So I think Halak will get the Kraken.
Yeah, I think that's a lock for sure. Vancouver, I'm going to say the Rangers play down to their level a little bit. I'm going to say 3-2 Rangers.
Okay. Such a high-scoring game. All right.
Yeah, change your mind.
Onto the Kraken. I think the Rangers have now played the Kraken four times, and all four times they've played them very tough. Maybe it was three times. I don't remember. But, you know, the Kraken are a very good team this year, surprising everyone. They have a guy, Matty Beniers, who's absolutely tearing it up. And I think they're going to give us some trouble here, whether it's Halak or whether it's Igor.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with 3-1 Kraken.
Mm, yeah, I think the Kraken win this game also. I actually think, like, I think it's going to be like a 5-1 Kraken.
Oh,
yeah, I know.
Not, that doesn't sound great. All right.
I feel like it's going to be a stinker.
Yeah. Okay. And last game, you know, the Rangers now have to go on a back-to-back to Carolina. It's a back-to-back away, which kind of sucks. But
Carolina's also like the hottest team in the league right now.
The Rangers have played them twice, right? And the Rangers have played them pretty well.
Haven't
we beat them both times?
I don't know if we've played them this year.
Dude, what are you talking about? Yes, we have. Bro, you're crazy. I was at the game we played them. We played them at least once, and we won in January, right after New Year's. And then I don't know if we played them twice. Maybe we only played them once.
I don't think we've played them at all.
Dude, Rangers.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, we did beat 5-3. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
We beat them once. And you know what? I'm going to ride that streak. I think it's going to be a little bit of a messy game since we're away on a back-to-back. I'm going to say 3-2 Rangers.
I think 2-0 Carolina.
You're always so pessimistic. You always go break.
Well, it's a back-to-back in Carolina.
You know what? The last 2 weeks, your predictions were shit, and mine were spot on. So take.
You actually ever follow? Like, do you ever like follow them up? Like, I don't even remember.
I don't remember yours, but back and I'm like, oh, I did pretty good on that one.
I already forgot what I said.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, anyways, that's it, guys. We have some good guests lined up. We're just, you know, ironing out the final kinks there, but hopefully we have some good guys on for you soon. Some really big guests, and you know, just keep listening and LFGR, baby. We'll be right back.